Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
The legendary sports commentator George Hamilton has announced that he has left RTE Sport after 40 years of voicing some of the most iconic moments in Irish sport. Being the virtuoso broadcaster that he is, George is currently broadcasting live on Lyric FM. But just before he went on air, he took the time to talk to us here on Drive Time about his big decision and the next chapter for George Hamilton. George, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Sarah. Oh, sorry.
Right. Danger
I'm not
here.
Surprised.
Excuse me. Hello. Lily, can I put you off for 15 minutes, please? I am just about to record with Drive Time. Okay, I'm here, I'm in position, so no problem. Okay, thanks, bye. That's my technical coordinator from Lyric.
It's one of those days, I'm sure, I listen.
Yeah, that was a lovely introduction, Sarah. Thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome. Now, the news today, a nation holds its breath. Why now and where will you be going?
It's quite simple, really. When you're a freelance, you have to make your own certainties. And as my old grandmother used to say, look after number one. And obviously, I have no intention of hanging up the mic, to use that cliche. I enjoy commentating. I still think I have something to offer. And so when the time was coming towards the end of my contract with RTE Sport, I decided to have a look around and see what else might be there, because I was not working as much as I used to on RTE Sport, and Premier Sports were there, and we came to an agreement, and I'm very happy to say that that's the direction I'm moving in.
And how do you feel? How do you feel today now that people are finding out? What sort of reaction have you got?
It's amazing, the reaction. I think I have been unbelievably lucky. You know, it's a fork in the road, sliding doors moment. I came back from London in 1984, and shortly after that, Jack Charlton was appointed manager of the Republic of Ireland football team. And we know what happened over the next 10 years. And mine was the voice that accompanied Jack Charlton's team through all those adventures. So I got really, really lucky like that. Had that not happened, who knows? You might never have heard of me, because I was part of the family that was the Jack Charlton roadshow. So there has been an amazing outpouring of why are you doing this, or where are you going, or what's up? But I suppose it's like everything else, you know, there comes a time when the road does fork and you have to think to yourself, what's best for me? Because obviously, as a freelancer, as I say, nobody else is looking out for you. So you've got to make your own mind up about what you get up to, and that's the decision I've taken.
Well, you're right. You've been the voice of Irish sporting success, George, for so many of us. And we'll come to that in just a second. But your parting from RTE Sport, was it amicable?
Yes, of course it was amicable, because there comes a time that there is a finite date on a contract. An RTE contract says very clearly, a freelance contract, this does not mean employment.
But you wanted to continue, George.
I wanted to continue commentating, but I could see I held straws in the wind, and I could see the way the wind was blowing. And as I said, I wasn't involved with the Irish team to the extent that I was. I was involved with the Irish women's team. I was involved with underage teams. But it had got to the point where I was saying to myself, look, this is only going one way, and if I want to continue at the level that I'm at, I have to kind of consider my options. So that's it.
There was a point in my upbringing that I thought you were actually directing Ray Houghton to put the ball in the English net, and you brought us to the World Cup quarterfinals in Italia 90.
Oh my goodness.
What stands out for you, George, looking back at your commentary career?
Well, you see, the one, I always say the first one was the best. That was the Ray Houghton against England in Stuttgart in 1988, and the reason for that was manifold, because I had studied German and French at uni and lived in Germany for a time, and I had friends in Germany, and one of them was a radio producer in Stuttgart who became our gopher around that match. So we had a wonderful time being taken hither and yon in Stuttgart. We were on top of the gig, and then when we went into the gig, I was interviewed on German TV before it. I was asked what I thought the result would be. I said, I think 0-0. 1-0 would be wonderful, but 0-0 will do. And halfway through the second half, the commentator who had interviewed me sent a little note down the line to us saying, what's the English for ein Traum wird Wirklichkeit, a dream becomes reality, or a dream comes true? Because he was commentating on the basis of what the Irish commentator had told him before the game. So that's why that stands out above all, not only because of my own personal feeling, not only because of what Ray Houghton did, not only because of the victory, but of all the things that came together that day in June in 1988. So that's a standout. Of course, Ray Houghton and Giants Stadium's another standout. Sonny O'Sullivan winning the World Championship in Gothenburg in 1995. Brian O'Driscoll scoring his hat-trick of tries in Paris. You know, all these things. I have been so lucky in what I've had the opportunity to do with RTE over all the years. And obviously there comes a time when all good things come to an end. And this is the point that the road has forked, and I've decided to go down another fork on the road, another side of the road.
I was watching back that particular one, the moment in 1990 when Ireland was heading for the World Cup, and that moment where you said the nation holds its breath. But after Paddy Bonner saved the penalty just in advance of that, what really struck me was you didn't say anything really. You shouted and then you let the crowd speak. You know, we could just hear the roar of the crowd and we heard the atmosphere. And I was just wondering how much of being a commentator is knowing when to shut up.
Most of it, to be quite honest. Because if you think about it, in that moment, nobody's going to hear what you're saying if you do say anything. That's one side of it, because they're all going to be cheering themselves. And the fact is that you're there to augment the picture. The picture is two-dimensional and you're supposed to add to the picture. And if the picture tells the story and the sound effects accompanying the picture tell the story, well, then there's nothing else for it but to shut up. And that's the thing to do. Always, always, always. That's what I was taught at the outset. Always, always follow the picture. Don't be talking and getting yourself into all sorts of side alleys, because that way the picture will change and you'll be talking about something that the viewer can't see, and the viewer will get annoyed because you've gone off on a tangent and the match is happening despite what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a very special skill, George. You make it sound easy, but it's a very special skill. You mentioned the fork in the road, obviously. Can you tell me, in the past 40 years, what are the big changes you've seen in sports coverage, in RTE in generally?
Well, the biggest thing is the way it works for a commentator or a reporter now. The access to the participants, the players, the management is not what it was. It's all media managed now. It's all press conferences and pre-arranged assignments and interviews. In the past, we shared the same hotel. We flew on the same flights. And we got to know the players as individuals in a way that is not possible anymore. That is the biggest change, without doubt. The other change is the fact that with the plethora of satellite stations that have come along and the amount of sport that they cover, it would be absolutely impossible for all of them to be sending commentators and reporters to every single match. And so the off-tube commentary has become a go-to for people who are counting the beans. And unfortunately, that is not something that commentators like me, who grew up on being in stadia, really appreciate. But hey, it's the way of the world, and that's an awful lot of what is done now is done off tube, and it's sad, but it's a fact.
Will you settle a 40-year bet that I've had with my brother here? It doesn't matter if you were commentating on names in players from Lithuania or Estonia or Russia or Germany or whatever the hell, you seem to say them with such authority, George. And I used to say, whatever George says is correct. And he said, no, I don't know if he's making it up. What is it?
Well, I said I was a linguist, a languages student, and I prided myself in speaking German or French or Spanish or whatever it is, to do my best to sound like a native speaker, because that's the way to do it. You strive for perfection all the time. And similarly, when I'm confronted with a team that I'm not familiar with, I will seek out their commentator or a journalist to get a steer on the correct pronunciation. And once I've got it, well, then I'm happy with it, and I'm confident in saying
I win the bet. You are a real pro. And the other question I have for you, the little phrases that became synonymous with George Hamilton, danger here, and then the goal comes. Mm. Did that annoy you, or were you happy with that?
I know. You're happy with whatever comes out. You've got to trust yourself. I often compare commentary to jazz music. You know, lots of music, symphony orchestras play to a score, but jazz musicians go off on tangents. There's a basis for what they're doing, and they can go off on tangents. As long as they know what they're doing and they can get back to where they're supposed to be, then that's fine. So for me, I played jazz commentating, and if I said something that was maybe a bum note, well, so be it. But you won't get the good ones if you don't the odd time have a howl.
Ah, they're all great. Give us one more danger here, just to
danger
wrap it up.
Here. Oh, there is danger here. Danger here.
Well, George, look, I know you're running off to one of your gigs on Lyric FM. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And I think I can speak for the nation when I say thank you also for the last 40 years.
Well,
you really just have brought colour and life to everything that we've been watching and following. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And it ain't over yet.